So luckily, our introductory algorithm with the concealed attribute system contained a little bit more complexity, so we can actually talk about what problems arise during attribute system evaluation. Yeah, and this arises in this case from having multiple attributes. Particularly, we are looking at computation of empty first and next and the interaction between those now. Yeah, and for that, we transform them in their new notation form. So first of all, maybe let's talk about like these corner cases, like the root production S goes to E. For that one, we have the hard-coded next attribute that evaluates to, well, nothing in particular in that sense. And we, for the other ones like empty and first, we just propagate the attribute values from the bottom to the top. Yeah, and in terms of dependency graphs, that looks like, well, we have dependencies from bottom to top for the first attribute and the empty attribute, and the next attribute is just computed locally. There is no real dependency going on there. Yeah, and this is reflected also in the mathematical notation of the graph. Yeah, and on the other hand, we have the leaves in this production, so their expressions go to the terminals, like E goes to X, for example. And here we have that the empty value of the root node is just determined by the evaluating how X actually really looks like. So in that case, empty of the parent is somehow computed, and then there's first, which is also just evaluating how the syntax tree locally really looks like, and just evaluating the value for the terminal X. Yeah, and this doesn't contribute in any dependencies in that case. Yeah, okay. So these are like just the corner cases. Let's have a look at what the others give us. So there's the rule for the alternative production, E goes to E or E. And there we now have a little bit more complications in there. So this is the productions that the production that we already know, like empty is depending on the children's values. So in the graphical form, we have values of both children contributing to the parent's attribute. In a similar fashion, we have first dependencies. So first also depends on both children's evaluations. But then we have a very different kind of dependencies here. So here the value of next's or the next attribute's value of the root node has an influence on how the next values of both children look like. Yeah, so the dependencies go in the other direction. So this gives a rise to a whole lot of dependencies in the graph, and this continues for other things like the concatenation, where we now even have a lot more interesting things to talk. So the boring one, so to say, is the dependency for empty attribute of the root node, which is just like we always had. Empty of the parent is depending on empty of the children. Yeah. Then we have one thing that is a lot more interesting. So first of the parent now is depending on first of the left child, like this, and possibly first of the right child, and also depends on what the value for the empty attribute of the left child is. Yeah, so we get here this empty attribute of the left child now has two other attributes that it influences. Yeah. And in a similar fashion, we have interesting relations here for the next attribute of the left child, because that is depending on the on what? On next of the parent. So this depends on this, but also on first and empty of the second child. Yeah. Okay, and then finally there is like the boring case, next of the second child depends on next of the parent. So like this. Yeah. But all in all, what we already see here is that there's a lot going on in the dependency graph right now, and it's now not so easy to say anymore how to, this could be easily evaluated specifically when you put that into arbitrary instantiations of syntax trees then. Yeah. Finally, there are the rules for clean star and the option operation, and yeah, I mean, it's not so complicated there anymore, so there's just like here the next attribute for the right children that has actually two values of attributes that it depends on, and that is the most complicated thing that goes on. Otherwise, it's just handing over values from one level to another. Like the first attribute goes to the top, and the next attribute goes to the bottom. Yeah. So there's not so much that actually really happens there. So, all in all, what you might wonder now is there some kind of static evaluation strategy? So an evaluation strategy that you establish once when you set up the equation, the attribute system, its general form. And can you find such a static evaluation strategy that is applicable in general for all the cases? What that particularly means is that the evaluation strategy must exist and be the same for any derivation tree that there is. Yeah, so for every input that you get given in such an attribute system, can you reuse the same static evaluation strategy for all possible inputs? Yeah. What you particularly need for that to happen is one subproperty, particularly that the dependencies for any such derivation tree between the attributes remain acyclic. Yeah. As soon as you have a cycle in there, you're pretty much screwed. Yeah, because if there's cyclic dependencies, well, you need further restrictions on values and the dependency equations between the attributes to come to any value at all anymore. Yeah, but in the general form, as soon as you have a cycle in there, you can't say anything anymore. Yeah, so checking for a cycle would be like the first step to say whether there is an evaluation strategy at all or not. And well, bugger, turns out that although checking for cycles on a graph is not a very difficult thing to do, here you don't have a fixed graph. You just have rules how graphs can look like. Yeah? So it's a lot more difficult to really state whether there is a cycle in such a system or not. And it's actually already found out that in such a system, it is exponentially difficult to check for cyclic dependencies. Yeah? Okay.